Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another Yankees Avenue live stream. Welcome back to another morning Yankees episode. Hope everybody is doing well. And here we are, Friday, May 1st, getting ready for the Yankees to kick off a four-game wraparound set against the Baltimore Orioles. That gets going tonight in the Bronx, which, of course, we will be live for. First pitch is at 7:05. We'll be live right around 7 o'clock. But, yo, we got a bunch to discuss today, chat. And as I've been teasing, we do have an announcement to make. But we're going to make it at the end of the show. That will be addressed come about 30 minutes from now. But for now, we have a bunch to discuss. We'll get into the Jason situation. Kind of a weird spot to be in because we're going to get an announcement today at some point regarding, you know, what the deal is with him. Of course, he left Wednesday's game with the hit by pitch. We still don't have word on if he's going to the IL or not. And if he is going to the IL, my opinion, I'd say almost a guarantee we see the return of Anthony Volpe possibly as soon as tonight. But we'll get into that because there's a lot of, you know, things to get into regarding how the Yankees can manage Volpe's return. To be honest, it might be the easiest lane for them to get Volpe back while still playing Caballero. We'll touch on that in just a moment. We also got some things to discuss regarding the returning pitchers. Carlos Rodon looked good yesterday. On the other hand, with Gerrit Cole, spoiler, I don't think it's a big deal at all. I grew up on CeCe Sabathia, but people are calling Gerrit Cole fat, which isn't a big deal. But we'll get into that in just a moment. What I do want to kick things off with here today is getting into the biggest takeaways so far from the first month of the season. It's crazy how time flies. March 25th, of course, is opening day in San Francisco. We're well past that now. We have a nice little sample size to go off of, and that's what we're going to do right here. If you could drop a like on the stream, I would appreciate that. Of course, this is another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. We'll be live all the time doing these. It's like my new favorite thing, along with, you know, in 2024, we started the watch parties up. I was like, yo, word. I'm a big fan of this. That's how I'm feeling about this show. So let me know if you like the new layout, everything we got going on here. This ain't going anywhere. And again, announcement at the very end of the show. But let's get into it with our five biggest takeaways from the first month. Now, most of these are going to be positive, chat, because there's a lot of positive things to discuss. And let's get into that. But also, I will say there's some negatives here as well. But you guys know we've been talking about this a lot. And we really saw it. A great example of it on Tuesday or Monday against Jacob deGrom in game one against the, or game two rather, on Tuesday against the Rangers, whatever, the defense. Far and away the best defensive team we've had in the Judge era. And a big thing, which is obvious and should always be the case, but nobody's playing at a position, which in years past, whether it be, you know, we always compare to 2024, a lot of people will be like, well, that team's automatically better than this one because they went to the World Series and, you know, last year's team were running it back, got bounced in the first round. I think that's a very silly logic to go off of. But comparing it to that 2024 team, the defense, talent-wise and skill-wise, is already better. But even just from the standpoint of nobody's playing out of position, 2024 we had Jazz at third base, of course. Needed a pretty decent job, but obviously he's a second baseman. Judge was playing center field. Now he's back in his position of right. He's been there for a couple years. But point is, nobody's playing out of position. Everybody knows what they're doing. And that's especially with the infield defense, for the first time in a long time, they just look like they know what they're doing. Of course, McMahon at third base, offensively, he's had a lot of issues, but defensively, there's no question marks there. Up the middle defense with Caballero and Jazz, they have looked terrific. One concern with that is the return of Volpe playing shortstop. Will they continue to be as effective? We will see, but the infield defense has been tremendous, as well as the outfield defense. You know, with the infield, you don't hold your breath. They'll make an occasional error like any other team. But with the outfield, I think this is probably the one aspect of running it back that nobody could really complain about, except for maybe Trent Grisham, because his defensive metrics last year weren't great. But we knew that was because of the lower body injuries that he had. And now, having all been healed, we know about his personal vow he made entering the season to get back to being an above-league average defensive center fielder. And that's exactly what he's done. So between him and center, Bellinger in left, who leads all left fielders in defensive runs saved. He has six defensive runs saved. He has been terrific out there. And then also, while we haven't seen the cannon unleashed for, you know, an out, I could have sworn Judge threw somebody out this year, but I was like, you know what? That definitely is me just thinking of him, what was it, gunning down Tatis in WBC. Anyways, his arm is back to full strength. So the infield defense, again, occasional error like any other team, but you can trust him around the diamond. The outfield is elite. I don't think anybody's complaining about that. And Austin Wells, we know how good he is defensively, and, you know, catcher metrics, it's kind of tough. he is the best pitch framer in the American League right now. And as for defensive runs saved, to be completely honest, I don't know exactly what defensive runs saved means for a catcher. But what I do know is Austin Wells leads all MLB catchers with 5 defensive runs saved. He's another thing where it's like McMahon, all right, the offense more so to a degree with McMahon, and Wells is heating up to a degree lately. You never really question his defensibility behind the plate. He's terrific. So you go around the diamond. One main takeaway is the defense, no doubt about it to me, the best we've had in the Judge era. And this is something we talk about all the time where, whether it be beginning of the season, the Yankees aren't hitting home runs. That's a very important piece of like the Jenga block that we talk about, where if you pull that out, good chance you're not going to win. Same with defense, same with fundamentals, pitching, of course, too, which we'll touch on in a moment. The only real question mark with this defense would be Ben Rice going into the year. And to be honest, because I want to be clear, I don't want to, you know, completely be altering narratives here. The eye test tells me one thing. The metrics say something else. Ben Rice is at -3 defensive runs saved. With that said, though, I think he's looked good scooping the ball at first base. I haven't had an issue. I don't, speaking of, you know, you don't hold your breath with this defense. I don't really hold my breath for the most part when a ground ball is hit to Ben Rice. Now, there were a few plays in this most recent series against Texas where, you know, he didn't look great. But if I were to be like Luke Voit or Ben Rice, I think Ben Rice is already above him. No, not to randomly bring up Luke Voit and diss him, but first base is his natural position. He's still learning it. Yankees need to find a way to just get this bat in the lineup every single day for obvious reason. And I think the defense has been good enough. So that's takeaway number one. And that's something we've talked about a lot. And that's one of the good things and one of the things that separates this team from years past. And really something that I and many Yankee fans have asked for a long time. I mean, it should kind of be like a non-negotiable that your team is defensively sound. Well, that's another benefit of running it back, or as the year goes on, years go on, nothing is guaranteed to be replicated the same way it was in years previous. Like, I talked about this with the running it back thing, with, you know, people think just because it's like the same team, which I understand the frustration with that, and there's some downsides to Yankees offseason. The bullpen has to be improved still to this very moment. But, you know, baseball doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Like, the odds of 2026 transpiring the exact same way 2025 did, where the Yankees will win 94 games, tie the Blue Jays, the best record in the American League, end up losing via the tiebreaker to the East, and then they lose exactly in 4 games, just the way they did in the year previous. The odds of that happening, very slim. Things are going to change. And one of the benefits is the Yankees can learn. The Yankees can make adjustments. And we've seen that, whether it be with the lineup and balance, we've seen that whether it's with home runs and strikeouts. You don't want to be, you know, too far on either end of the pendulum. There's like a middle ground to it. Not with defense. You want to be defensively sound. But the Yankees can, over the years, see what didn't work out and then apply a change. And in this case, they clearly are prioritizing defense as well as starting pitching. That was going to be a transition, but that's actually not my next one. The next one, and we'll do some of these relatively quickly because, you know, we harp on this stuff a lot, but it's all good news and I want to celebrate it. Happy Friday, chat. Ben Rice has replaced Juan Soto. Now, the only real difference with Rice so far compared to Soto, because the offensive production is very similar, is Soto does strike out a little bit less than Ben Rice does. And I understand, you know, it's still early into his career, but given what the metric suggested last year, which was, though the results were really good, the metric suggested he should be an elite hitter. And of course, that's what he's been so far this year. AL ranks entering the weekend. He's 3rd in OBP, 2nd in slugging percentage, 5th in home runs, 2nd in WRC+, 2nd in WAR. And majority of those stats that he's 2nd to is all behind Yordan Alvarez, who's also off to a great start. But if you want to look at like a, you know, MVP race down the line, I'm pretty sure he's, for the most part, playing DH. So, I mean, I think Judge is going to win MVP anyways, and Judge has been great. But anyways, bottom line is Ben Rice has indeed replaced Juan Soto's production. The Yankees have a 1A to Aaron Judge again. And this one is homegrown, very likable, smart dude. We all love Ben Rice. Now, a pushback to that, and I saw this in the comments recently when we talked about something similar, was, well, we could have had Ben Rice and Soto. They don't have to be, you know, what's the word? Well, there's a word for it. I don't got it. But yes, you know, we could have had a lineup where if the Yankees, if Soto had re-signed with the Yankees and took their deal, yeah, we still would have Ben Rice, but also with that, then we wouldn't have Max Free, we wouldn't have Cody Bellinger. So not even necessarily in regards to this specific conversation, given the Yankees credit with like the replacement for Soto, they wanted him back. But did they? Is a question, actually. I mean, Hal certainly didn't, understandably so. You guys know that was a devastating moment for us. We're kind of over it now, at least I am. But regardless, if the Yankees truly wanted, by the Yankees, I mean like Cashman, we had heard a lot of whispers that, you know, when the Yankees lost out on Soto, and some were thinking it was possibly that, you know, just putting out some reports to, you know, be coping, whatever it is. Regardless, it's working out. But there were whispers that Cashman, like the Yankees front office, were kind of down for Soto to not sign that deal because this way they could, you know, go the route they did, which is allocate that money elsewhere. And with that, you have Max Fried on the team. You have Cody Bellinger on the team. So, yes, we could have had Rice and Soto, but by losing Soto, we have essentially just as productive a hitter as in Ben Rice, as well as Max Fried and Cody Bellinger. And also, I think most people are understanding this by now, but the production is very much real. You look at the Savant page last year, the metrics, all backup what he's doing. They suggest that he would do things more like we're seeing this year. Instead of a mid-800s OPS, it's an OPS over one dot, well over one dot. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much one of the main takeaways for me is not only is Ben Rice a successful homegrown product and then some, he's legitimately replaced the production of Juan Soto so far. And I would not be saying that if it weren't just true so far 30 games in, but in the end, like, sure, who cares? I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't believe this will maintain the rest of the season and throughout his career. Ben Rice is the real deal, and it's freaking awesome. All right, this we won't spend too much time on, but because we know this, we're aware of this, we got to celebrate it, the pitching staff. This is possibly the best starting rotation in Yankee history, and to that, more so just throwing it out there, people have been talking about it. I obviously started watching in 2011. I have no doubt about it, the best starting rotation since I began watching the Yankees. I'll leave it up to you guys. You know, if there's any, I was about to call you old heads. If there's any older folks out there, anybody watched like the 90s Dynasty, of course, you know, the 2003 start of the Evil Empire with their rotation. Then the Yankees have obviously had some very, very good rotations. And, you know, I could do my research. I'm, you know, pretty well versed in the history of the New York Yankees. But ultimately, I pose that question to you guys. Let me know. Do you think this is the best starting rotation in Yankee history? That might be an outlandish question. Whatever. That's not so much what we're here to talk about today. What we do know is it's the number one reason, at least in my opinion, but I think we'd all agree, the number one reason why, if you are willing to accept that this year could be different, the starting rotation is the number one reason as to why that is. Anyways, real quick, MLB ranks entering the weekend for the Yankees starting rotation. First in ERA with a 2.74. First in FIP, 3.25. First in expected ERA. Second lowest walks per nine in all of baseball. Get this, too. Fourth lowest home runs allowed per nine in baseball. And in a landslide, I'm not a big pitcher war guy, but like, you know, when it goes along my narrative, I'll use it. And it certainly does. In the American League, they are actually in all of baseball, first in team pitcher war. That's for starting rotation. First in starting rotation war with 4.6 as a team. The next best, and it's interesting, the Dodgers at 3.8. And if you were to, you know, make the conversation centered around best rotations in baseball, I mean, I understand I'm biased, but I think clearly the Yankees are number one, both talent-wise right now and also the depth prospects, and of course, Rodon and Cole returning. Number two, or number one that we're competing with, would be the Dodgers, and so far we're heavily exceeding what they're doing in their starting rotation. So, again, I think it's the number one reason why this year could be different, along with the defense. But, you know, the offense, even if, you know, there's some issues. We're going to talk about Trent Grisham in our next topic, but the thing that automatically makes this, again, different than previous years is if you believe the offense is going to be the same old Yankees and, you know, die in October, which that narrative is often overblown. The Yankees lost the Blue Jays last year because ultimately the pitching staff. I love Max Fried, but we always talk about it. He laid an egg in game two. Carlos Rodon, not bashing him, but, you know, because he had the bum elbow and he was just pitching through it. Rodon was not good in game three against Toronto. Fortunately, Judge bailed him out. We had Luis Gil starting game one of that series. Luke Weaver was tipping pitches. He was terrible. Not giving any of these guys crap. I'm not one of those fans that, you know, a guy I love has a bad game and all of a sudden it's F him. Hell no. Let me take a quick sip of coffee real quick. But the offense has produced, obviously. And they've been really trending up. They're now first in home runs. They're towards the top of the league in runs scored, WRC+, you name it. But there is a legitimate chance come October with our postseason rotation. And assumingly, we'll talk bullpen, an upgraded bullpen. There's a chance, well, even if the offense isn't scoring, you look up come the seventh inning and your starter is only allowed one run. And, of course, we know our postseason staff right now with just a four-man rotation, which is what you need, would be some order of Cole, Rodon, Fried, Cam. We may want Cam to start way earlier than game four, but the point is, no doubt about it, the best starting rotation of the Judge era, the best starting rotation I've seen as a Yankee fan, again, 2011 on. Let me know your thoughts all time, because there's a question being asked. But again, no doubt the best of the Judge era. The unfortunate thing, and this is something we knew all offseason long, even for a shill like myself, my biggest complaint, and it remains to this day, obviously, and it will until it's upgraded, the bullpen, unfortunately, while we had the best rotation in the Judge era, this is the worst bullpen we've had since the start of 2017. I mean, really no doubt about it. And, you know, we were kind of treading that way last year, more so because of the bad years from Williams and Weaver falling off towards the second half and down the stretch. But that is certifiably the case. This is the worst bullpen we've had in the Judge era, and it has to be upgraded. We all know that. The Yankees know that. Fortunately, they have the prospects to make deals. They have, we always talk about October, because that's really what it revolves around. You know, we could talk about who comes out of the rotation when Rodon and Cole are healthy. Come October, you only need four starters. So barring injury, which could obviously happen, and in that case, we're prepared. Warren and Weathers will be going to the bullpen, and their stuff absolutely will play. Luis Seal, honestly, I'm not sure we'll ever see Luis Seal again this year, to be honest. But I look forward to seeing him next year. I love Luis Seal. Weathers and Warren will go to the bullpen. We'll see what happens with LeGrand. Hey, could he get a call-up? Could Elmer Rodriguez, we saw make his debut the other day, and he was in great. He wasn't terrible either. We'll maybe touch on him again later. But the trade deadline, the Yankees have to go all in, because ultimately, and this is what will bring it home here to wrap up this segment, biggest takeaways from the first month of the season is this team has a shot. And I understand I'm a shill. I understand I get very excited. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. That's just how it is. But it's not me just saying, oh, go Yankees, yo. Like, don't forget, listen to what I'm saying. Like, you watch this game, you cannot deny that this team is looking better on fundamentals. They're looking better defensively. And there's no denying what the starting rotation is. So, like, again, a game like, I really love the game against DeGrom, which was the middle game against Texas, where, yo, the Yankees didn't really hit DeGrom. They scored just one run off of him, although hit the ball pretty damn hard. And they had some tough luck, batted ball-wise, in the Texas series. But, all right, they only scored one run off DeGrom, but they got him out after six innings, eventually tacked on some insurance runs off the bullpen. And ultimately, thanks to terrific defense, as well as your fourth ace in Cam Schlittler, you know what I'm saying, you're able to win that game. And that, to me, is a game that shows clearly the difference between this year and years past. The 2024 Yankees do not win that game. And if they do, it's because somehow they got to DeGrom, which probably wouldn't be all that likely, even with Judge and Soto doing their thing. So the biggest takeaways here, again, this team has a shot, and that's not something me just celebrating and being a shill. It's you better go all in on the trade deadline because the urgency is there. The Yankees know we have to win. We as fans know we have to win. And fortunately, we have a damn good shot to win, in my opinion, especially in the American League. We'll worry about the Dodgers when we get there, but come the World Series, if, you know, that does, if we're fortunate enough to get there, which we should, we'll deal with it then. That's just baseball. You analyze it as a series. But in the meantime, the American League is pretty damn weak. And even if it weren't, like I'm starting to get to the point, and we'll face them this month. Happy May, by the way. I'm not sure we said that. I want the Blue Jays to be as good as they were last year because I think this team can beat them. And this series against Baltimore this weekend is going to be an exciting test. It's our first, that's a lie. I was about to say our first in-division matchup. That's a complete lie. I was going to say besides the Rays. We've also faced Boston, but Baltimore is still a team that I'm looking at as, especially given the American League, possibly could make the playoffs and probably will. They're just a game under 500 now. An in-division series against Baltimore is a big deal. This month, we're going to face Toronto. We saw how the Yankees handled Boston. Granted, they're terrible, but one more thing about running it back. We've talked about this. The fact that they've been through this together, they're kind of battle-tested. They know what went wrong last year. They know how to, you know, do things differently this year is very significant as well. So given the talent, given the pitching staff, and given what I assume is going to be a pretty damn good trade deadline, everything is going well. There's reason to be very optimistic. The one area to be pessimistic and is valid is the bullpen. It shouldn't be this way forever. And if it is, we'll come on here August 1st and we'll be kind of tweaking chat. Not kind of, we'll be going nuts. We might go Frank the Tank mode. But for now, you should be very optimistic. Very, very, very optimistic. So those are our takeaways from the first month of the season. Month two begins tonight against Baltimore. Let's move on to this, and we'll discuss a little bit some negativity here. I'm going to throw you guys a bone. Although majority, I feel like, of my audience is, not my audience, but like Yankee fans in general are all pretty happy right now, so I can lean into the shill mode as much as I want. But let's talk a little Trent Grisham, because for those that are, you know, new around here, not familiar with what I was saying in the offseason, where I stand on this. Trent Grisham, I was a supporter of bringing him back. A qualifying offer, him accepting it, I didn't think it was a big deal really whatsoever, because ultimately the Yankees needed to get an outfielder because Jason Dominguez is not big league ready in left field. He was not an option. Spencer Jones, bottom line is, he was not an option. He struck out 35% of the time at AAA last year. What's that going to look like in the big leagues? And by the way, I'm kind of in a weird spot with Jones. We'll talk more on him in just a moment. We're going to get to the Jason stuff. But real quick on Trent Grisham, because he's off to a rough start. He's a 610 OPS in 30 games this season. Does have four home runs. Well, the positive with Grisham, first things first, he is back to being an above average center fielder again. He's looked terrific in center field. We talked about that, but that is not insignificant whatsoever. But the offense, you know, he's had some home runs, he's had some moments, and he remains pretty damn clutch. He had the game-tying homer in his two-homer game against the Angels a couple weeks ago, but it's been a rough start for Grisham. And the results are first and foremost here. That's ultimately what matters. I'm not trying to paint a different picture, but I do believe we got to give him a little bit more time. The advanced metrics do back up what he did in 2025. You look at the hard hit rate, and let's pull it up now, because this is it's a big thing. So on the left here is 2025, his breakout year. We had the 34 homers, 812 OPS. On the right here is the current season, 2026. Now, what you'll notice is he's still hitting the ball just as hard, and the eye remains elite. Even when he was a below league average hitter, like well below league average hitter, he's always had a really good eye. He knows what a strike is. He knows what a ball is for the most part. That remains, and that's not insignificant. His hard hit rates and you know, the expected weighted on base average last year to this, not much of a drop off there. In fact, the expected slugging, or not the expected slugging, but the hard hit percentage year over year, last year was in the 66th percentile. This year, he's, 89th percentile. Sorry, there's so many numbers here. I'm getting all over the place. Let's get away from this. I'm going to get nauseous. But the bottom line is, with Grisham, he's hitting the ball just as hard, but a big issue with him, and you've probably heard people talk about this, and this isn't something to celebrate because the results are bad, and ultimately, he could hit the ball as hard as he wants all year long. If he's still hitting, you know, an OPS in the 600s, that's not good. That can't happen. But a big reason why is his lack of pulling the ball in the air. In 2025, he pulled the ball nearly 50% of the time, 49.7%. This year, 41.1%. That's a drop-off. He's hitting more balls on the ground. And ultimately, you look at the home run per fly ball rate, which, you know, kind of a weird stat, but when you know how hard he's hitting the ball, I will kind of allow myself to look at this. Home run per fly ball in 2025, 21.5% of the time on a fly ball that Grisham hit, it went for a home run. This year, that number down incredibly, down to 10.8%, an over 10% drop off for Grisham home run to fly ball rate. Again, the good news is that he's hitting the ball very similar to 2025. He's hitting it hard, if not harder, given depending on what metric you look at. And again, ultimately, all that matters is the results, but I do think we got to give him a little bit more time, because that's a tweak that you can make. Like, if you were to have one thing remain, it wouldn't be like necessarily the fly ball rate and the pull of the ball in the air. It's more so you want him to hit the ball hard, because then you can make that tweak. And I'm sure the Yankees are going to town as we speak. Well, he's probably still sleeping, but you know, throughout this entire struggles, I'm sure these tweaks are being made, because ultimately it's just, yo, elevate the ball more, elevate the ball in the air more. And because of his quality of contact, the results should start to return. Now, with that said, Grisham's OBP has now fallen below 300. He's at a 298 OBP. And while I'm saying we got to give him a little bit more time, and if this ends up being a thing where he's not good come season's end, like, I will acknowledge where I was wrong. I acknowledge I was wrong last week. I wanted to trade George Lombard Jr. for Freddie Peralta. I was kind of tweaking and being a, you know, whatever. I was wrong in that case. There's a couple times a year where that does happen. So I will tell you if I was wrong. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not rooting for myself to be right. Now, fortunately, being optimistic, if I'm rooting for myself to be right, I'm rooting for world peace, essentially. A lot of times people are so hung up on a take where, you know, they want Trent Grisham to be bad because they didn't agree with signing him. So they almost, like, for them, it's a win-win. It's like you're either right that signing Trent Grisham was a bad idea, or you're wrong and you get to celebrate him being good. Think whatever you feel. Say whatever you feel, obviously. But I will tell you if Grisham is bad, and we'll come to that conclusion. We can't come to that conclusion just yet. But with that said, I 100% hear people out when they say he should not be batting leadoff. Now, with the injury to Stanton, with possibly Jason going to the IL, not so much of a conversation. He probably will remain in the leadoff spot in the for the foreseeable future. But at full health, when Stanton's back, whatever it is, I really, and they're doing this, they're batting Rice ahead of Judge, I would really prefer Ben Rice to bat leadoff and kind of go, you know, be like Shohei Ohtani-esque, having him and Judge back-to-back to begin the game. That's the lane that I would, or that's what I would do to lead off the game. But in the meantime, until Stanton returns, Jason, we'll see what the deal is with him. We're going to touch on him coming up next. But the leadoff spot, I 100% hear people out on that. And ultimately, Grisham has not been good. A 610 OPS with just four homers, not ideal. But again, I'm not some crazy analytics guru, but if we are ones that take pride in ourselves being correct or not, I can't just assume Grisham is bad when I see this. He's hitting the ball just as hard. He just got to elevate it more, which I'm not a hitting coach. I mean, I guess, I don't know. My advice, and it's probably why it's good I'm not getting the one given, is drop the shoulder a little bit. Nah, I'm just kidding. But the Yankees are definitely going to town making that tweak. And if that tweak is made and made successfully, we'll start to see more home runs. He has been hitting the ball like very hard that we've seen just eye test-wise where he's had a lot of bad luck. But yeah, in the meantime, we'll acknowledge this. 30 games in, the results have not been good enough. The good news is hard hit rate like we talked about, and also the defense is back to being above league average in center field. But all right, let's move on to the news. Excuse me. And I'm going to have to check Twitter because getting to this, so no update here. And Volpe and Jason, it's all intertwined regarding what's going to happen. So again, I'm in a little bit of a tough spot here because it's currently, as you see in the top left, it's just before 9 o'clock, and we don't have word on what the deal is going to be with Jason Dominguez. Now, of course, for those who aren't aware, after being called up and on Wednesday or Thursday's series finale, I'm getting my days all mixed up. It's starting to irritate me. Jason was hit by a pitch and he left the game. Initial test, which was an X-ray and MRI, they came back inconclusive, and he very well could go to the IL. And right now, this isn't the official word. I have the sense that he will, but we'll see what's going to happen there. Regardless, because I kind of just want to leave that there. It's possible Jason goes on the IL, but I don't want to, you know, assume he might not, and talk about something that right after the show we find out isn't the case. So we'll get some sort of news regarding Jason IL or not, but let's talk Anthony Volpe because he is nearing the end of his rehab clock. And, you know, he had a decent rehab, 10 games. He's hit 303 with a homer. The swing we've talked about a lot looks a lot more level. It could be any day now. It could be today. And if Jason were to go down with an injury, it does give the Yankees a very easy lane to activate Volpe, have him play shortstop, but still get Caballero playing time. This may be the route they want to go. So in the case where, let's just say Jason's going to the IL, and if he doesn't go to the IL, Volpe could very well still come up today anyways. But let's just say for a second Jason goes to the IL. What you could do is you then really use a DH spot as like a revolving door with Judge and Rice. I think more often than not, you'd see Rice DH will get Goldschmidt some starts at first base, no doubt. Judge a lot of time there too. Also as well as Ahmed Rosario. But what they could do is with Caballero, obviously now with Volpe, when he does return, if he's a shortstop, Caballero goes back to being a more true utility guy. So you'll have one start at third base on a certain day. You'll have a start at second base. Caballero will still play shortstop on a given day as well. But remember, he can also play a corner outfield spot. And especially with Randall Grichuk DFA'd, which the Yankees are probably kind of like a little irritated about that. They definitely did not want to DFA Grichuk. But that, of course, was before Jason got hurt. I'm sure, you know, they wish that worked out differently. But with Grichuk DFA'd, I would say it's a certainty that on the days where we see Judge DHing, which will be, if Jason goes to the IL, this all is, it'd be relatively often where Judge will DH, especially against a lefty. I think almost certainly we will see Caballero playing right field. So with that in mind, like, this gives the Yankees an easy lane to activate Volpe, have him play shortstop, and still get Caballero a lot of playing time, whether it's, again, one day at third base, one day at second base, some starts at shortstop, as well as some play in the corner outfield spots. I don't know about him in left field at Yankee Stadium, but on the days Judge DHs, he could definitely play right. So that's one thing. Now, with that said, like, he's still Volpe. He's under more pressure than ever. And whether he gets activated today or whenever it may be, it's not a talent thing. Yeah, like, we know he's talented. And I'm a Volpe supporter. I'm an everybody that's a Yankee supporter. Unless you don't show effort and, you know, unless you wear an AirPod while playing second base, which Jazz was not doing. He had a cotton ball in his ear, apparently. He posted it on Twitter yesterday. And he called us all idiots, Chad. And I said, you're right, Jazz, my bad. But no, effort is where I'll criticize and I'll drop some F-bombs by the Yankee player. But no, like, in the end, if you're a Yankee, I support you. We should all support Volpe. We want him to do well, and I think we all do. but it's now been 3 years. And you look at last year with the bum shoulder, the torn labrum, had to get surgery. We know the deal. We always say it, but it's like, yo, can you really attribute a lot of his struggles to that torn labrum? Now, defensively, even though it wasn't his throwing arm, like, a torn labrum is a torn labrum. I'm sure that doesn't feel great. So, I mean, I guess I'll throw him a bone and say that played a role. But also, like, we've seen Volpe be bad offensively without a bad shoulder. So it's like, what can you really expect from him this year? Well, I'll tell you what we absolutely have to get, bare minimum, a 700 OPS, which is not exactly shooting for the moon. And if I were to hear myself talking this way prior to 2023 opening day when I was so hyped for his call-up, I'd be like, damn, what happened? Well, what happened is we know Volpe's been a tremendous disappointment. He just has. Again, I'm rooting for him, whatever. The defense, though, we cannot have it be, and this is for his sake, and I feel bad for him, I really do. And this is why Michael Kay, when he was saying, would the Yankees possibly keep Volpe in the minor leagues, which is still a possibility as we speak right now, but we'll see. I don't know. I think Volpe's coming up today, to be honest with you. But one thing Kay was saying is, and this was before Jason got hurt, it's like, one, like, you don't really want to ruin a good thing right now. It's going well. And for that reason alone, you should just keep things the way they are. But also, you are setting up Volpe to where, one, he's going to enter with a lot of pressure because the Yankees are playing well. Caballero's been playing well. I think Volpe already suffers a little bit from overthinking. I don't know. He's my age. I can kind of see it in his eyes. But he comes back and makes an error. It's going to be bad. Especially if the Yankees, maybe even not to his fault, say Volpe's hitting 300 his first 10 games back, makes one error in those 10 games, but the Yankees go 5-5, it's going to be like, oh, Volpe ruined the chemistry, Volpe ruined this, Volpe ruined that, which that will be ridiculous. I'm not saying some of this won't be ridiculous. Like, Volpe is set up here to, unless he is tearing the cover off the ball, and the main thing is he's got to play well at shortstop. Like, there's a middle ground to this where it's like people are going to be unfair to Volpe, but also, too, it's like, to a degree, they're well within their rights because he's been so bad. He's got to get out of the gate quick, man. Like, if it's today or whenever it may be, and at some point I think it will be it during the homestand, he's got to start hitting. And ultimately, like, I'm talking a good couple week stretch out of the gate would be ideal. But, like, the big picture here is the Yankees will be a better team if, and this is possible, by the way, like, Volpe can still improve. Guys have been late bloomers in the past. And, like, I used this example the other day, but, like, even a guy like Ahmed Rosario, first overall pick, one of the highest touted prospects in baseball at the time of his call-up, while he, you know, didn't pan out exactly what the initial scouting report said he would, but it, for all I know, like, Ahmed Rosario has an over 800 OPS right now. He's never had that in his career. Will he finish there? We don't know. But, like, guys can get better. Guys can improve. Guys can be late bloomers. Volpe could very well be one of them. Like, Dansby Swanson, a lot of people made that comp. Like, could Volpe take that pathway where early on it was kind of a struggle, and then as he finds, you know, gets more years under his belt, he finds his way offensively. Big picture this year, if Volpe can be a 700 OPS bat with good defense, they will be a better team because they are a better team with Caballero off the bench. Now, obviously, that's assuming you're still getting production at a shortstop, which we kind of just laid out. A 700 OPS would be right around a league average bat. It'd be a career high for Volpe. He's never been above, like, I think his highest was like a OPS in the 670s. To this day, 2024 was his best year because he truly was elite defensively. And you can go back to that. That would be awesome. But for right now, like, it is a nervous feeling about the team. Not even that. That's me being dramatic. See, even I can be that way. I actually kind of feel bad for him. I feel bad for him because he's actually set up to fail. Doesn't mean he will fail, but he is set up to, if say he gets activated tonight, I hope he gets a hit in his first at bat. I need, for his sake, and he needs this, is what I'm saying, a nice, like, first pitch bullet single up the middle. Oh, yeah, with a nice level swing. Okay, this could be different. Make it very even a diving play. I just want a game of really good defense. And by that, I mean ground balls hit till you make the play. The opposite of that, though, we could see a snowball to where all of a sudden you can just see it in their eyes, yo. Like, you can see it in their eyes. Like, the same way we talked about with Cam, where he has, like, that killer look. You can also recognize when a player doesn't have it. And we've seen Volpe have kind of, like, you know, in the World Series and the play, like, there's time when Volpe's going, when Volpe's, he can be badass. But when the pressure's mounting, when he's going bad, he does kind of have that puppy dog look sometimes. And I can't blame him because this dude was a number five prospect in all baseball a few years back, and it hasn't gone well. So with that, now going on to year four, the struggles so far, the defense last year, Caballero, the team success, all that, like, he's under a lot of pressure. He's got to get out of the gate quick. And that could very well be tonight against the Orioles. Again, as of right now, no official move with Volpe, no official move with Jason Dominguez. I'm going to guess, but I guess I will. Like, I think Volpe's back tonight. I think Jason is going on IL, but that is not official. We'll find out probably this afternoon. And reminder, for tonight's game, we will be live. So 7 o'clock, I hope to see you guys all there for the watch party. We'll be live, yeah, right around 7 o'clock. First pitch is at 7:05. Game one is Will Warren, who's been terrific, versus, at least via the MLB at bat, you'll see on the bottom ticker here, they're all TBD. Every single one of these four games is TBD for Baltimore. Maybe they're updated on Twitter, but as of right now, I don't know who's starting for them. I know Trevor Rogers just landed on the IL. We'll talk more about that come tonight's game, but Will Warren on the bump for the Yankees. And by the way, I'm so excited for this Baltimore series. I'm kind of looking at this, not to the level of, in division like Blue Jays, because that's going to be box office. But this is kind of like, four game set. We got, Warren, and then we'll move on to the next topic. And then, yes, we'll get to our announcement at the very end in just a little bit. But game one tonight, Will Warren. Game two, Ryan Weathers. Game three, Max Fried. Game four, Cam Schlittler. Chat, I don't know about you, but you want to just like pretend, just like Cole did to the end of 2023. It's like, let's pretend this is a playoff series the way I'm seeing it. Like, we got four starters. Two of them will be in the rotation come October with Cam and Fried, obviously, barring any injuries. But I'm going to kind of play into this like, let's treat this like a playoff series. And I hope the Yankees are going to this with the same mindset. In division, the Orioles are a competitor. Like, they're probably going to make the playoffs. I'm excited for the series. And we're back in the Bronx. We have four against Baltimore. It's a wraparound series. This ends on Monday. And then after that, the Rangers, we're back with them in the Bronx starting on Tuesday. And then after that, we go on a road trip. And speaking of that road trip, I think it could be then where we see the return of Carlos Rodon. And yes, we're going to talk about a Cole looking a little bit chub, which, spoiler, I don't care. I don't care at all. In fact, I endorse it. But anyways, Rodon, he looked really good in what was his second rehab start yesterday. He pitched for AA Somerset, and he ended up striking out 8 batters. Final line, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, 8 strikeouts through 75 pitches. And he was asked about, his start and whether or not he's ready. And he basically was like, I know as much as you do. Obviously, I'm not going to say no, but let's realistically plan this out. So he's at 75 pitches. We'll have at least one more rehab start. And assuming they bump him up, who's messaging me? My prescription at CVS is ready to be picked up, chat. That means we're going to be in a good headspace tonight. No, just kidding. That's crazy. Rodon, probably at least one more rehab start. And assuming that gets him up to the pitch count of 90, yesterday he threw 75. I think it could be two more rehab starts, but I think it might just be one. And we see the Yankees activate Rodon come the road trip following this homestand. So again, we have 7 total games, 4 against Baltimore, 3 against Texas. Then after that, beginning May 8th, we start a road trip against Milwaukee, and then we face Baltimore again. I think Rodon could return then. Now, if he doesn't, then it will be the Subway Series. We have the road trip. I mean, I guess technically it's not just a 6-game road trip. It's a 9-game road trip. But we come back home after Milwaukee and Baltimore for the Subway Series at Citi Field. If Rodon doesn't return against the Brewers or the Orioles on the road, I think it would then be against the Mets. Now, we'll see. Again, at the very least, one more rehab start. And he looked good yesterday. But he's coming. Rodon will be back soon. And with that very easy corresponding move, Elmer Rodriguez will be at least taken out of the rotation. I'm not sure if he would be sent down. And a point that I really like that we talked about recently, Randy Wilkins has been making, is the Yankees really shouldn't be carrying two longmen. You have Paul Blackburn and Ryan Yarbrough, which Yarbrough was initially signed for the purpose of starting rotation depth, which at the time was needed. Obviously not needed right now, and especially come the return of Rodon. The Yankees may have, for them, a tough decision to make between, do they want to cut Yarbrough? Do they want to cut Blackburn? If it were up to me, forget Elmer Rodriguez. Like, you can just send him back down to AAA. And there's nothing to do with his outing, by the way. There's no take to be made off of one start. And ultimately, like, he faced some adversity and he only gave up 2 runs. Elmer didn't look great the other day. Didn't look terrible either. We're not really going to talk. That was one start. We'll see him again. He'll make at least one more start, which I believe would be against Texas in the next series at home. But anyways, you got to make a decision between Blackburn and Yarbrough. One of those two should not be in the roster, especially come Rodon's return, which should be soon. Within the next couple weeks, we will see the return of Rodon. He'll take over Elmer's spot in the rotation, which once was Luis Hiels. And the Yankees' 5-man staff, barring any injuries until then, will be whatever order, but Fried, Cole, Warren, Weathers, Carlos Rodon. Not too bad. And I got to say, man, like, not that anybody, not in a bad way. I always feel like I'm accusing people of being overly negative. But no, with Rodon, people aren't being negative. But more so, I feel like he's not getting full respect for how good he is and good he was last year. Even like Jack Curry, when one of the starts where Cam was great, he made a comment about the aces that the Yankees have and referred to them as having three aces and Cam and Freed, and of course the return of Gerrit Cole. And while, you know, I don't want to throw out the term ace lightly because that's not just a number one starter. It's not just like an 18-game winner. In the tier of aces, if we could do that, it's Freed and Cam, and then Cole is something he looks good when he returns. And then there's like that little like sublet tier a little bit. Like I think Rodon's just under that. Point is, let's play a little video from his wildcard start last year. Rodon was terrific. 18-game winner, ERA just over 3. The opponent batting average was the lowest, I think, in his career. He was very effective. And we know down the road and in the season, he had the elbow, which he later got surgery for, bone spurs and the left elbow. And we talk about it a lot, but like you got to mention it in regards to his start against Toronto. He literally could not bend his elbow. That's how bad the bone spurs were. But he kept pitching, made a full 33 starts. And like, we got stuff to get to here, so I'm not trying to spend too much time on this. But you really do got to acknowledge how terrible of a year one it was for Rodon in 2023 to begin his six-year deal. ERA over 6. We all watched it. It was terrible. The Kansas City where, you know, what was the situation? He like disrespected Matt Blake. It's kind of slipped my mind exactly what it was. But it was a disaster in year one. And that can, speaking of snowballing, that can snowball real quickly to where, I mean, it could have been a disaster PR-wise. And that year one, along with the performance, it kind of was. Rodon came off like a punk. He had the blown the kisses to the Yankee fans in Anaheim. That was not ideal. But he bounced back terrifically. I mean, year two even